This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
The Rhode Island Convention Center in Providence as a local economic engine. A look at that question that's been kicked around here and there recently. And our guest to talk about that is Martha Sheridan, president and CEO of the Providence Warwick Convention and Visitors Bureau. Martha, welcome back. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
1993, the Rhode Island Convention Center went into business. Talk a little about how things were before that.
A lot has changed since then. When that building opened in 1993, we had four hotels in the city, far fewer hotel rooms. Since then, we've added a large number of hotel rooms. We're up to almost 2,500 with more on the way. There are, you know, restaurants that have popped up around that building. And, of course, Providence Place, which I think benefits greatly from the existence of the convention center. So I really think the face of the city has changed dramatically since that building opened in 1993.
And it was, I imagine, very tough booking events to come into Providence.
Without the convention center, it was just a very different paradigm back then. We would just look for smaller groups that could utilize, you know, it was the Providence Biltmore, the Holiday Inn, Providence Marriott at the time. But with the opening of the convention center, our market changed dramatically. We had a lot more groups that we could then go after. So, it's been a big difference. And the larger the group, the greater the impact on the city, of course.
But the marketplace outside of Providence and the rest of New England has changed too, right? I mean, you know, haven't both Worcester and Hartford increased their capacity for meetings?
Yes, completely. Hartford has a new building, one of the newer buildings in the region, and it's it's much larger than our facility. The Worcester building has increased its capacity. And then, of course, up the road in Boston, they had the Heinz Convention Center, but they've added the BCEC, which is, of course, a mega convention center. So there's much more inventory in this region for meeting planners to choose from, depending on the size of the facility that they're looking for. And then, of course, we have the two large casinos in Connecticut, which are also large meeting facilities. So competition has changed considerably even since our building opened in 1993.
Has the increase in air travel created more traffic, more meetings, though, in different places? Is the entire market, it's just more active?
I think in general, you know, the number of meetings that take place around the U.S. and really around the world has grown dramatically over the years because, as you said, access is so much easier. Flying is so much easier now than it was. And quite honestly, there are also so many more disciplines that people want to study or affinity groups that they belong to. People, they want to meet. Even in this day and age with the high tech, face-to-face meetings are still a very valuable and important component of conducting business and creating cultural opportunities.
Martha, how deeply do convention center events reach into the local community and local businesses?
Well, it really depends on the group. We have large professional associations that meet there, and of course, they'll access resources available to them at the colleges and universities in the community. But they may stay in the facility a little bit more. They may utilize the facility for their meal functions, et cetera. So they may not be out as often. But if you have a youth sports group, for instance, that's very large with a lot of families, no planned meal functions in the building, you're going to see those folks out and about in the city a bit more because they have to utilize and access all of the restaurants, et cetera. And not only in Providence, but really they take advantage of the entire state. So it really depends, but the larger the group, the greater the impact on the city in the form of hotel room consumption, et cetera.
How about indirect effects? Someone is attending an event and they happen to like a particular bookstore, and you really can't measure that, but there must be indirect effects.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was just sitting in a coffee shop downtown a minute ago, and I started a conversation with a woman from Atlanta, and she was here for a knitting conference, not in the convention center, but taking place at the Biltmore, and she was about to head up to Hope Street and go to a yarn store there and go over to Block Island. So absolutely, there's so many ancillary businesses that benefit. And then beyond that, you also have to think of the multiplier effect. So if we have a convention at the convention center, a restaurant has to put more servers on. More shifts mean more money in the servers' pockets, and then they can go out and spend more in the community as well.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Martha Sheridan, President and CEO of the Providence Warwick Convention and Visitors Bureau.
So, Martha, you mentioned there more hotel rooms are on the horizon. We know there are a number of projects that are in various stages of approval. Why do you think it's warranted that more hotel rooms will come here?
Well, we don't make a judgment call on whether or not we need more hotel rooms. We actually let the market decide that. If a developer looks at the numbers and the banks that are financing these projects look at the numbers and find that our occupancy and rates or revenue per available room are at a level where we can bear more rooms, then they'll certainly finance the project and it will come to fruition. We do take a look on our end at occupancy levels on a monthly and annual basis, but also on a nightly basis, and we can see where we are probably displacing some business, particularly on Saturday nights, on weekends when we're at capacity and folks that are looking for hotel rooms will not be able to stay in Providence.
Do you see Airbnb is taking some of that, you know, filling some of that need?
I think Airbnb does take overflow from the hotels on nights that they're sold out. But we also think Airbnb brings in customers that might not have ever stayed in a hotel in the first place, people that want to travel that way. They want to immerse themselves in the community in a city that they're visiting. So a hotel might never have been an option for them. But now that they have the opportunity to stay in a home setting, they're going to come to the city. And, you know, we quite frankly look at them as any other visitor. They're spending new dollars in our market as well. So Airbnb is a complement in many cases to the hotel product that we have existing.
Martha, if you were starting from scratch, how might a convention center in Providence be set up now? Or another way of asking that is there something that we need?
Well, the format of meetings has shifted slightly as the type of learning has changed over the years. So it used to be when you built a convention center, your focus was on those big exhibit halls. How much square footage of exhibit space do we need? And less focus on the meeting space or the breakout space and ballrooms. And that's shifted a little bit. So now we feel like we're in a good place from an exhibit hall perspective, but we do oftentimes come up short when it comes to meeting space and breakout rooms because topics can become very complex now. Meeting planners want to provide their delegates with a lot of different options for learning within the same meeting rather than one large setting for a singular topic. So a lot of markets are trying to meet that need.
There's also a change in booking strategy in that beyond the boat shows, beyond the athletic events, perhaps, you might bring in popular speakers.
Yeah, I think that serves a purpose for the local community and can have a benefit for visitors. But maybe you're thinking of Malala, who just spoke at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. And you do see that as a trend now where folks do want to spend the night out, maybe not just being entertained in the traditional sense by a Broadway show or a concert, but they do want to have an evening out where they're learning something. And I think you're going to see that trend continue.
Well, it's been great talking. Providence Warwick Convention and Visitors Bureau President and CEO, Martha Sheridan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Our guest on This Bottom Line, thanks as always to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.